God's word for you, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 10 and 11. If Timothy comes, make sure he has nothing to fear while he is with you, for he is doing the work of the Lord just as I am. Don't let anyone among you look down on him. Send him on his way in peace, so that he may come back to me, for I am expecting him with the brothers. Paul was bold, easily handling the word of God against the outrageous lies of heretics on every side and the self-righteous posturing of the Corinthians at the same time. But since he couldn't be there, he needed to send someone else as a capable minister of the gospel to explain the simple truths of the Corinthians. Not every pastor has the same gift of boldness against heretics, nor against their own members who often mistake a pastor's humility for weakness. Timothy was being sent through because he was fully capable of teaching the Corinthians the truths of the Scriptures. When I first began my formal studies for the ministry, I began to receive questions from people in my hometown who would write letters to me or call me, even during my first week of school, asking me to explain about the laying on of hands or women in the ministry, the rapture, and all sorts of doctrines that honestly pastors with 12 years of study and 10 years of ministry behind them have trouble explaining. I would politely tell them that I was doing well learning my Greek grammar, and I would be happy to talk about their questions down the road a bit. What I should have said was, well, go and read your catechism again. Read Moses, and then read the Gospels, and then reread them before you search for loopholes in Peter, Paul, and John. Just as a child needs to learn the alphabet before he can learn to read, and he also needs to learn some grammar before he can learn to write well, so also a Christian must know the creeds and the catechism before they wrestle with the hard doctrines that trouble them. Is the creation of the world and the incarnation of the Son of God by a virgin girl so easy to comprehend that we worry about the timetable of the last day? Is the payment of the blood of the Son of God for the sins and carnal impulses of every man, woman, and child so clear to people that they don't think that they need to pray about it, ponder about it, and seek their own, and to see their own stinking filth there at the foot of the cross, and that they can ask frivolous questions about angels lusting after people they see while they're invisible, and the sort of philosophical drivel that the Buddhists are so snobbish about? What is the sound of one hand clapping, they ask? Well, none at all. How much water can you catch in a net? Well, none of any value. What is the value of any of Buddha's teaching? None at all, because none of it points anyone to Christ, the cross, or the resurrection. Instead, it all leads people astray to reincarnation and second chances that are all lies, and more lies. Like all the Eastern religions, it is a sudden trap door to hell. Timothy was the kind of preacher who would take the Corinthians deeply into the Scriptures, the basics of the Word of God, and the sort of confession of faith that would soon be recognized as the Apostles' Creed. But Paul wanted him treated with respect for his office. It is the divine call that makes the preacher, not his own abilities, nor the opinions of his congregation. A member of a church who tries to bully or threaten a minister or teacher, or pressure them into making decisions that will go their way, is a member who is turned on Christ himself and should be thrown out of the church and every church. But Paul is gentle with the Corinthians. He encourages them, don't let anyone look down on him. That turned the whole congregation into a cloud of witnesses, a collection of loving aunts and uncles to this young man who was there in the name of the Holy Spirit among them. Send him on his way in peace means that when the time came, they should help him get ready to continue his travels, to provide him with warm clothing for the sea voyage, food or wine, although Timothy was known to avoid wine despite stomach troubles, 1 Timothy 5:23, a little bit like his namesake. and a little money to afford the journey across the Aegean Sea and back to Paul, who says, so that he may come back to me. Timothy's role, then, was to keep instructing the Corinthians, to make sure that they were well-grounded in the Holy Scriptures, to carry out the duties of a minister among them, administering the sacraments, carefully teaching, rebuking, correcting, and encouraging, and paying attention to sound doctrine. That's 2 Timothy 4:2. He was also there to make a report for Paul on how they were doing. The role of shepherds in the church is to lead you with knowledge and understanding. That's Jeremiah 3:15. And to be examples to the flock, 1 Peter 5:2. They are there to guide us as we learn to love the basics of God's holy word, to love our Lord Jesus, and to look to him for comfort, for guidance in godly living, and for peace. Pray for your pastor, but pray about your own faith as well. Pray that the Lord would deepen your love for Jesus to turn you to godly repentance over your sins day by day. Make an effort to read your Bible and a section of the Catechism every day, to pray about what you've read and to seek a clear understanding of the words. This is God's Word, after all, for you. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. Thank you for letting me do this.